Done.
270.
This is Money Clip on Bloomberg Television. We are fully digital. Just download our BTV Plus app. It's free. I'm Adam Johnson. All right, today's moving pictures now, where the video is the story. UK lawmakers have voted to join a US-led coalition to fight the Islamic State. They will join action in Iraq, but not in Syria. Here's Prime Minister David Cameron earlier today.
Is there a threat to the British people? The answer is yes. ISIL has already murdered one British hostage and is threatening the lives of two more. The first ISIL-inspired terrorist acts in Europe have already taken place with, for instance, the attack on the Jewish Museum in Brussels. Security services have disrupted six other known plots in Europe, as well as foiling a terrorist attack in Australia aimed at civilians, including British and American tourists.
Hundreds of high school students in Hong Kong joined a week-long class boycott on Friday. They were protesting against Beijing's decision to restrict electoral reforms. Wearing white and yellow ribbons on their wrists, the students attended public lectures in an open area at the city's government headquarters. Today is supposed to be the final day of the strike, but the student group told the Associated Press that it's discussing whether to extend it into next week. An India space agency released a new image of Mars. Obviously, this shows a surface that is marked by craters. It was taken yesterday by the Mars Orbiter mission, commonly known as MOM. It's the country's first spacecraft. Well, in tech, forget your bending phones. There's another problem you've got to worry about when it comes to your technology.
The U.S. government is warning of a new security vulnerability that may be worse than the Heartbleed bug. The security flaw, known as shell shock, affects Linux and Apple's OS X. The bug allows hackers to insert an extra piece of code into the system, enabling them to steal data or crash the affected computer network.
Bottom line, this thing is bad, could be even worse than the Heartbleed bug that was found last spring.
Heartbleed basically tricked users, people like you and me, into changing our password, and then that password opened the front door to whatever our security systems were, whatever our mobile devices were. What we have with shell shock is basically a vulnerability on the backside. So this isn't tricking consumers, but it's a big opening on the backside. The tools that they're using to break in potential hackers, they're quite primitive, and in some ways that's the problem. This is so old, you've got to go back and fix the back systems of this on architecture and infrastructure. It's really from the 80s.
All right, the government issued a warning. The question is, what are the feds actually saying about this thing?
On a 1 to 10 threshold, they say this is at 10 in terms of impact and vulnerability. Here's what the Department of Homeland Security said, official statement last night. I'll read it for you. U.S. CERT, that's the U.S. government, is aware of a bash vulnerability affecting Unix-based operating systems such as Linux and Mac OS X. Exploitation of this vulnerability may allow a remote attacker to execute arbitrary code on an affected system. It's a very clear message to IT directors, everyone that's running the back end of a computer security system, they need to fix this bug. There is a patch available, but it's a process, downloading the patch and also figuring out which of your systems are indeed vulnerable.
Yeah, that's a little dizzying. So what does all this mean in layman's terms? Well, White Hat Security CEO Jeremiah Glassman explains to the BWest team. This is via Skype from Maui.
Heartbleed had the ability to, where we could see into encrypted data as it transmits from the browser to the website. Shell shock is much different. It allows us to execute commands on servers, whether they're on a user's desktop or on the web server in general. So it can just read, but now we can read and write. And that makes the system, the problem, wormable, meaning when we compromise using shell shock one of these servers, you can then leapfrog to other systems.
That's fairly amazing. It sounds like really it's someone just taking over your computer, not just putting something on there to send out certain pieces of information, but actually do whatever they want from wherever they want.
That's pretty much the way it works. And it's not just, you know, home users' computers. You know, we know Apple OS X is vulnerable, but it's really all the Unix and Linux-based systems across the world have the very real potential of having this issue. So every website on the planet, we have to check.
And doesn't it also have implications for cameras, webcams, other connected devices?
That's the thought. We're still researching that. We think a lot of these internal devices have an operating system called BusyBox, which doesn't have the same vulnerability. But it's not to say that a lot of these internal devices, such as home routers, IP phones, and cameras, don't also have the bug. We're just 24 hours in, so we still have a lot of research to do.
Why is it taking so long to figure out what's really going on and how pervasive it is?
The internet is a big place, and we're still trying to find all the ways software wires together. You know, with software is built upon more software and is built upon more software, and everything's interconnected. So we can find places like Rob at Eradisec did to find some cursory examples of places that are vulnerable, but to find the true extent, it's going to take much longer.
What are the things that you learn from prior attacks that, you know, in recent attacks that you can carry forward into sort of unveiling or uncovering what's behind this one?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of experience in the industry over the last 10 or 15 years, you know, finding vulnerabilities and figuring out how fast they're taken advantage of by the bad guys. So within maybe 8 to 12 hours of this being released and the embargo being lifted on the information, we got to see, you know, the details of it, how widespread it is. So the things we learn is that we got command execution, which means we can do whatever we want with the vulnerability. It's wormable, meaning that it can spread. And worse, it's very, very easy to use. It's very easy to exploit.
Well, as if Apple didn't have enough PR problems these days with the Benny phones, the company says the, quote, vast majority of its Mac users are safe by default. Okay, I guess I feel better. All right, still ahead on Money Clip, Derek Jeter preparing to say farewell to Major League Baseball. We're going to take a look at the business of ticket sales and the memorabilia behind it. And then later, a different New York legend, the Martha Washington Hotel. She got a facelift. We're going to take you there.
Futures from experienced pros with dedicated chats and daily live webinars, and trade with paper money to test drive the market. All on Thinkorswim from TD Ameritrade.
Who gets the financial advice they truly need?
I'm a dentist.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a pilot for a major airline.
Getting great financial advice shouldn't depend on who you are or what you do. At Edelman Financial, we believe everyone deserves great financial advice, even if you're not rich.
You've seen Rick on TV, heard him on the radio, and read his best-selling books. Now put Edelman Financial to work for you. Go online to learn more or call us now.
The first thing we'll do is talk. Actually, you'll do the talking, we'll listen. Next, we make a plan for you, and then you can relax, knowing we're always here for you. Call now for your free portfolio review.
I want smart advice in plain English.
I want a plan to help me get where I want to go.
That's why I'm going to Edelman Financial.
Edelman Financial, because everyone deserves great financial advice.
Call 1-800-806-1405.
Company who knows that the fewest cancellations and the most on-time flights are nothing if we can't get your things there too. It's no wonder more people choose Delta than any other airline.
TA
25 from the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange, powering the Israeli economy. Find more information at www.ta25.co.il.
With all due respect, that guy could never get elected president.
He's got a chance to win.
He makes Joe Biden look like a guy in control of his mouth, or me.
You know what? This could be a show.
This could be a show like us sitting around in a diner talking about politics. It's kind of like what we did in our books. But it's not just politics. It's about politics and sports and culture and entertainment.
Exactly. It's like a taco bar and a sushi bar all in one.
That sounds pretty good.
So it's not dumbed down. Yes. It's not partisan. Yes. That is a show that I would watch.
It's a show that I would watch, too. A show that's a combination of Good Times and Game of Thrones.
This is Money Clip on Bloomberg Television. We're streaming live everywhere. We're online, your phone, your tablet, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV. Did I leave one out? I don't think so. I'm Adam Johnson. All right, the big story in sports today, retiring Yankee shortstop Derek Jeter playing his final home game. This was last night. Ticket prices averaged $415. Heavy rain had been forecast all day, but
meet deals. Base hit to right field. Here comes Richardson. Here's the throw from Markakis. Richardson is safe. Derek Jeter ends his final game with a walk-off single. Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality. Did you have any?
All right, in the end, over 48,000 fans in attendance got well more than their money's worth. Jeter delivering a walk-off single to win the game in triumphant fashion. Well, as Major League Baseball prepares to say its final goodbyes to Mr. Jeter, we caught up with a few other pros for their final thoughts on the Yankee captain.
Yankee fans are lucky, because if you're taking your kids to the game, for so long you've had a chance to look out on that field and say, look, son, you want to play the game the right way? Watch number two. And not raising his flag up the flagpole, not tooting his own horn, not saying, hey, look at me, look what I could do. He was just a guy who went about his business at the highest level and with the greatest degree of class that you can find, probably second only to the guy who works with me, Cal Ripken Jr. So it's been a pleasure to watch. It really has.
What he meant for this city and meant for Major League Baseball, ambassador for the game, is hard to find, is rare to find. When you see a Cal Ripken come through or Derek Jeter, and now it's that one, just that new guy that has to come in and take that, take the trophy on to the next level.
I had to be pretty much perfect in order for me to get him out and get him off balance a little bit to try to get G to hit something right at someone, because he's that good. I think the captain is the symbol of the Yankees. I think it's someone I feel proud of as a ball player, someone I can say, even though I competed so hard and I hated competing against them, I also enjoyed the fact that I was competing with the best out there.
If you missed last night's game, there is still a chance to see Derek Jeter. He said he is planning to play this weekend in the final series against the Red Sox. That's up in Boston. One person who can hook you up with some last-minute tickets, Robert Tuchman. He's the president of GoViva Sports. This is a marketplace for once-in-a-lifetime sports experiences. He joined us this morning on Surveillance.
The issue is, I mean, how can you end it any better? So everyone's just hoping he's going to play in Boston because of this. But yes, a lot of people are actually going to head up to Boston. We're selling a lot of packages and doing a lot of experiences up there. And tickets are pretty expensive. Actually, last night, if you looked at it, some of the best seats right up in front, people were paying $1,500. The same thing for Sunday at Fenway. Hmm. I think everyone's just hoping he's going to play now.
Well, if he does play, he had said it would be as DH and not as shortstop, right? So what does that mean for not just the ticket prices, but for the experiences that you put together?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I think people who are heading up there are diehard Jeter fans. Either that or people who are local who just hate him and are really excited that he's leaving and want to give him a good goodbye.
Well, that couldn't possibly.
So it's going to be very interesting either way you cut it. I mean, you can't really have, I mean, he had an incredible ending. You can't have a better ending than that last night. Let's see what happens in Boston.
Yes, we will. And if you are a really big Derek Jeter fan and tickets to his final games are not enough, you can always buy one of the many items going up for auction. Don't worry. There's more than just the Dirty Sox mentioned on the New York Post cover this week. The chief executive of Steiner Sports, which is behind the sale, showed some of the featured items to Pim Fox.
We got cleats. We have game model cleats. This is like a one-of-a-kind cleat that we have that Air Jordan sent us, and all the proceeds are going to turn to. This is a cleat that he actually wore for part of the season. And then we've got this.
What does something like that go for if you get into bid on Derek?
I mean, this could go for thousands of dollars. I mean, this cleat is the only one of its kind. If you're a sneakerhead and you love sneakers, this is the thing you want to bid on because they only made one pair of these. And we've got some game-used ones of these that he wore, but this one was the only one he didn't wear. This could go for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. The ones that he wore in his last season will go for $10,000, $15,000 a pair. We also did this commemorative bat, exclusive to Steiner. You can get this bat with all his final statistics. You get it autographed or non-autographed. And we did a whole bunch of versions where different people signed the bat, which is kind of cool. You get it on SteinerSports.com.
Well, she may not have won a World Series, but Annabelle Seldorf has done New York a service, restoring one of our historic landmarks. That story is coming up next in Wildcard.
If you trade stocks and options online, we'd like to have a word with you. Trade King. We're different from the five biggest online brokers. Trade King lets you trade wisely, just $4.95 per trade. Trade smoothly, with customer service ranked number one by Smart Money. Trade easily, with an award-winning website that's easy to use. Switch today and get $1,000 in free trade commissions. Looking for a new breed of broker? There's a name for people like you. Trade King. Switch today.
Am I missing a deadline?
Will I get there in time?
Am I going too fast?
Did I close the garage door?
Stay in your lane.
I don't think I sent that email. I should make a reservation. I thought it was clear. Okay, break.
I didn't see that coming.
Its instinct to protect leaves you free to drive. Lease the Infiniti Q50 for $339 a month. Visit your local Infiniti retailer.
If you are age 85 or younger, call 1-800-515-4336 now.
To learn more about the Senior Care Plan from Senior Life Insurance Company. The average funeral now costs over $7,500, but the most government benefits will pay your family is only $255, leaving your loved ones to pay your debt. The Senior Care Plan will pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. There is no medical exam, and you'll have lifetime coverage. Your rates will never increase. Your benefits will never decrease, and your plan cannot be canceled by Senior Life. To receive free information about the Senior Care Plan and its benefits,
call 1-800-515-4336 now.
Also receive information about a free prescription discount card by calling now. You have no obligation. Operators are standing by. Call now.
Anton's Animal Kingdom.
Anton.
How may I help you?
Help.
Be quiet.
Quiet.
Silence.
Silence.
If only everything was as easy as creating your website with Wix. Go to Wix.com today. It's free.
Will you help us find a new house for you and your brother?
Money Clip on Bloomberg Television. We are live everywhere, including on your Windows device. I'm Adam Johnson. All right, some prominent venture capitalists are sounding the alarm. They are saying that startup valuations have gotten way too high and that startups are spending way too much money. This is actually the top story on Bloomberg West today, which starts at the beginning of the hour. Corey Johnson, I'm curious, who's actually speaking out, sounding the alarm?
Well, some of those prominent venture capitalists in all of Silicon Valley are doing so. Bill Gurley, a longtime VC from Benchmark Capital, who knows the public markets, too. He was a sell-side analyst back in the day for Credit Suisse and others. We've also got Mark Andreessen making similar comments in tweets, his favorite medium of the day. And Fred Wilson, of course, of Union Square Ventures. All three of these guys, sharp investors who've made a lot of money. And some of their investments, indeed, have seen some spectacular valuations. But it's back to this great old conversation. I mean, Adam, this is like the most fundamental decision about how to govern a business, right? How much do you spend to grow a business, and how much should you be conserving for days when the sun doesn't shine? I mean, it's this great debate for any business, but it's particularly sharply in focus in Silicon Valley and tech companies here, where they're getting a lot of money in the door to try to create great big things and spending like crazy to do that. You certainly see the profligate spending in Silicon Valley, whether it's on new corporate headquarters or ice sculptures and keggers for the keggers.
I remember when Oculus went from $19 billion to Facebook, 55 people. I mean, that's, I guess, what these guys are talking about, right?
Well, WhatsApp for that value. Yeah, so we've seen some crazy valuations for some of these private companies. But I think it's really a question of what some of these venture-backed companies are, what they're spending the money on, and if that money's still going to be there. Bill Gurley and Mark Andreessen pointing out that a lot of these CEOs weren't around when money was hard to get, and they may have a comeuppance ahead.
All right, good deal. We will be watching, Corey. Bloomberg West, of course, comes on at 1 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 11 o'clock Eastern right here on Bloomberg Television. All right, our wild card today is a woman named Annabelle Seldorf. She is the go-to architect for the art world, and she recently stepped out of the galleries to take on a much bigger project, is restoring a New York landmark, and here is her story.
You have to create the narrative. You have to have the imagination, the fantasy, and I think the enthusiasm to do something. I am Annabelle Seldorf. I'm principal of Seldorf Architects. We are at the Martha Washington Hotel, located in New York City. It became a very famous place for many, many years, being an all-women hotel. It was celebrated as a safe place for women to come and stay. We wanted to think that when you enter the building, that it wasn't complete discord with the exterior and with the history of the building. It's also a modern, welcoming, informal space in some ways. But if you're so inclined and you just want to come and have a pizza, you turn left and you find the restaurant. We always felt that this was a kind of signifier for the restaurant to have these really beautiful ovens. There is the food counter where you can watch the chefs preparing pizzas and other things, or you sit in the grand room and get served. I never think about, did somebody else do the same thing, or is this already existing? I much more think about, we're going to come back here in 10 years and still love it.
Breitling, instruments for professionals.
Here's big news for small business. Could your business use from $5,000 to $250,000? Introducing LendVantage, a free service that connects small business to big capital. Go online, complete a simple application, and you can get pre-approved for up to $250,000 in minutes. And you get the money in as fast as one business day after approval. LendVantage, lending small business a big advantage. Go to LendVantage.com or call 1-800-999-LEND.
Sailing through the heart of cities and landscapes with Viking, you'll see things differently. You'll get closer to iconic landmarks, to local life and cultural treasures. It's a feeling that only a river can give you, that only Viking can give you. Spend less time getting there and more time being there. Viking River Cruises, exploring the world in comfort.
You know, millions of people have saved with Progressive, so I get invited to quite a few family gatherings. Heck, I saved Judith here a fortune with discounts like Safe Driver, Multicar, Paperless. You make a mighty fine Mrs. M'lady. I'm not saying Mark's thrifty. Let's just say I saved him $519, and it certainly didn't go toward that ring. Am I right? So visit Progressive.com today. I call this one the robot.
In the grocery store, they don't come up to you and say, hey, I'd like to go out on a date. But on our time, they do.
It was really nice to be on a site where gentlemen are actually looking for someone of my age.
And then they match you up with somebody that has the same likes and the same values.
I feel like I'm back in high school.
I got my first flirt within about 10 minutes of being on the site. Yeah.
Ourtime.com. Visit today and get started for free.
Television on the markets. I'm Julie Hyman. Let's talk about where stocks traded today. It was really an interesting week, a lot of ups and downs. Stocks ending the day much higher than they were earlier in the session. We saw a late day rally here, rebounding from yesterday's declines that were the worst since July. Today's gain for the S&P 500, the most in 5 weeks' time. Among other reasons, we saw GDP for the second quarter revised higher. Contributing to the gains, I wanted to mention several notable movers during the session. Nike higher after its earnings beat estimates. Yahoo getting a boost after Starboard Capital, the activist investing fund, pushed for changes at the firm, including some sort of potential combination with Yahoo, with AOL. And finally, Janus Capital, of course, one of the biggest movers of the day after Bill Gross said he was leaving PIMCO to join that firm instead. And to talk more about not just the day, but the week, I'm joined by Bloomberg News' stocks reporter Mike Regan. Mike, we really had, as I mentioned, a lot of back and forth during the week, but overall a down week despite today's gains.
Right. S&P 500 ended up losing about 1.4% for the week. That's about the worst week in almost 2 months, but it's really hard to draw too many conclusions from it, especially when you had a day today where we end strong like today. And, you know, remember, we're sort of in that limbo period where there's not a lot of earnings coming out, not a lot of bottom-up information. So, you know, instead of reading 20 earnings reports a day, you're starting reading the news on Russia and, you know, start focusing on all these other things. And so I would say, you know, as you pointed out, the little corporate information that we did get this week, Nike was very positive. Micron was very positive last night. So, you know, two big movers today on the upside. So, you know, it's sort of a slow news week from the bottom up perspective, with a lot of focus on the geopolitical issues, junk bonds, got a lot of people's attention, weakness there. But again, I don't think you can draw too many conclusions from the week.
Well, I mean, if there's any conclusion you can draw, it's that the thing that so many people have predicted is here, which is an increase in volatility. That, I mean, we've been hearing that for months now, that when the fall came,
right,
we would see an uptick in volatility.
Yeah,
and
certainly.
Here it is.
You know, looking at the VIX, the options volatility index, up more than 20%. Again, biggest gain in about 2 months. Still well below its average, though. So not really testing, you know, those higher levels yet. Again, next week, you know, not much earnings that week. The quarter will end, so there's bound to be some more, maybe some volatility as the quarter draws closer, as people readjust their portfolios till the end. But really, market's kind of just waiting for earnings now. You know, everyone's more or less comfortable with what they believe the Fed's going to do next year. There's always room for surprise on that. You know, as Richard Fisher's speech yesterday spooked some people, you know, sort of, you know, worrying about junk bonds. Bringing that back into focus. But, you know, otherwise, you know, the market is relatively comfortable, you know, in the belief that the rate hikes will start in the middle of next year.
So I'm curious, when you talk to investors, when you, it seems as though those sort of geopolitical things that you were talking about have been spooking them. What do they, just quickly here, what do they seem most concerned about on that front?
You really have to wonder if these geopolitical events really start affecting economies. You know, Europe's recovery is pretty fragile right now. You know, forecast growth next year of not much more than than 1%. So some more tension with Russia, you know, especially as we get into the winter season where the natural gas becomes a bigger
that
issue.
That could have a real effect.
Right, right.
Okay. All right, Mike Regan, thank you so much. Breaking down the week that was and perhaps the week that shall be also. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, Mike. And have a great weekend, all of you as well. For On the Markets, I'm Julie Hyman.
The true partner is the one you feel most comfortable with. Invest in Remarkable Indonesia.
Uptake remains strong.
Opinions. 1.5 There's no shortage in this world. Who do you trust? Whose analysis is accurate? How do you make sense of it all? A simple, unbiased stock score consolidated from the opinions of independent analysts. Is that too much to ask? Nope. Equity Summary Score, powered by StarMine, will help you execute your ideas with speed and conviction. And it's only on Fidelity.com. Open an account and find more of the expertise you need to be a better investor.
Around the clock, around the world, Bloomberg keeps you connected. On television, online, on the radio, and on mobile.
The all-new TLX from Acura.
Tell us what we're seeing aside from a lot of cranes.
All of this is about the development of integrated resorts here in Cotai, which is expanding this whole, entertainment complex.
Could Macau beat Las Vegas at the convention game?
Is it possible that the MICE business overtakes Las Vegas? Absolutely. Well, could it be a $100 billion market in 5-6 years? In a heartbeat.
The Zhuhai-Guangzhou Railway is going to extend to Hangqin, and there is a station in Macau across the river so that they will provide the greatest convenience for people traveling between the two places.
I work in all of the acts doing high diving, jumping from high platforms, being catapulted in the air, somersaulting with bungees. The whole performance space is one of the biggest in the world.
Brought to you by Macau Government Tourist Office. From our studios in New York City, this is Charlie Rose.
Matteo Renzi is here. He has been Prime Minister of Italy since February 2014. He is leader of the Democratic Party, a center-left political party in Italy. The International Monetary Fund said last week that Italy will remain in recession throughout 2014. The IMF report also urged Renzi to push through his ambitious reform agenda. Italy's structural weakness continues to impede its growth potential. The country's debt is the second largest in the eurozone. It is predicted to peak at 136% of GDP this year. Italy currently holds the rotating presidency of the Council of the European Union. Matteo Renzi visited Silicon Valley and met with technology entrepreneurs before arriving in New York for the United Nations General Assembly. I am very pleased to have him at this table for the first time because I love his country. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
What did you learn from Silicon Valley?
I chose Silicon Valley because it's the capital of the future. It's one of the capital of the future. And our country, Italy, is an incredible capital of the past. So we must change our perception and we must invest in the future. And Silicon Valley could be a model, could be a place of inspiration. And I receive a strong message from the Italian people who stay in the Silicon Valley. We can change the world if you can't change the country, Matteo. Mm. So I must change the country. And then everybody will change the world.
So how are you going to change the country?
With a process of reforms very clear, but in every field. Labor market, constitutional reforms, fiscal system. It's terrible. Pay the tax around the world. Pay taxation in Italy is particularly difficult. An investment in public administration, a fight against corruption, a new system of justice, civil justice. So for everything, we have a project, very concrete, with the procedure in Parliament. And I think with these process of reforms, we must absolutely give to Italy the position of the past, the leadership. Italy is leader, not follower. In the last period, we lost a few times an opportunity. Now is the time to change.
You had the business community behind you. Do you still?
My business community, the business community is an incredible asset for the future of country if finally we invest in opening markets in Italy. Mm. Because in the past, you know, the business community are very close. And they found the flag. Yes. But it's not important the passport of entrepreneur. It's important the quality of project, the quality of project. So the business community must invest in the made in Italy. Made in Italy means a few things. Wine, food, culture, but also quality of engineering, ability to innovation, investment in technology. The Renaissance today is in the new inventors in Silicon Valley or in Boston than in Italy. We must come back to invent and to change.
So you can bring a Silicon Valley to Italy, in your judgment? Italy's own Silicon Valley.
Italy is not simply a Silicon Valley. Italy is a place in which ideas could become projects. Ideas could change the life of the people. But in this moment, it's impossible if we don't realize the reforms of justice. Today in Italy, to have a process, we need 3 years in the civil court. In USA, UK, France, Germany, 1 year. So we must absolutely reduce the gap. We must absolutely change ourselves to change the world.
When they say Italy desperately needs structural reform, what do they mean?
I think, first of all, Italy cuts numbers of politicians and make easy the process of politics.
It means election rules and everything else.
In general, if you think in USA, there are 500 members of parliament. In Italy, 1,000. Yeah. I'm very proud of my country, but it's impossible to have the double of members of parliament of the United States. So the reduction of power of politicians is a part of this challenge.
But politicians do not want to give up power.
Politicians have power of veto in this moment. Veto block a decision. We must come back. We must come back to the model in which politicians are not the people who blocked the ideas, but we prevent the future. The role of politics around the history, also in Italy, of Machiavelli to today, is image the future, not defend the present. For me, this is the structural reforms. This means also for the labor market.
What did Berlusconi do to the image of Italy?
Berlusconi was a prime minister for 9 years, in a period of 20 years, for the first time to last time. Obviously, with about Berlusconi in Italy, there are the destruction of discussion in politics, because a part hate Berlusconi, a part love Berlusconi. Berlusconi now, the party Berlusconi, is in my opposition, is in my enemy in the discussion of politics, but I think we must close the discussion of the past and we must discuss about the future.
But
there is a new generation.
But he had a supportive business, but so did you. Leonardo Del Vecchio said, and he's one of the wealthiest business owners in Italy, yes?
Yes.
If not the wealthiest. He said about you, Renzi is the best government we've had in 10 years. And there are many obstacles to improvement.
We have a lot of obstacles in this moment. But I think we must absolutely find a solution, not find an excusation. I think in Italy, last 20 years, 30 years, the politicians explain the list of problems, show every problem, but don't solve the problem. So I'm not sure if I am good or the bad governor. I'm sure I must absolutely solve a list of problems presented by the last generation and finally show we are able to change.
And what do you need to change Italy? What's essential at this moment to get through the reforms you have talked about, creating growth?
We must absolutely create growth to give an open of number very high of employers for give a possibility for the strategic for the strategy for the future. But if you ask me, what is the things you need to change? Three things. First of all, consensus of people. I received a consensus incredible, 41% last election. The first time after 57 years in Italy. My party is most voted around Europe. So, second, the ideas very clear and very determined, and we have, I don't know if this is sufficient, but this is very important. The third is the courage. I have only one possibility. Give a very strong message. If I solve the problem, I change Italy. But if I don't able to solve problem, I must retire myself from politics.
If you can't do it, you'll get out.
I think we can absolutely obtain the results. I'm confident.
On foreign policy, there's always been a relationship between Italy and Libya. And you have said Libya is more important to us than Syria.
Because
there is a collapsing
for Italy,
central government.
It's difficult to make a ranking of problems around the world. Obviously, it's a problem Ukraine. Obviously, it's a problem of Syria. It's a problem Iraq. But for me, for my country, the most neighbor with a problem is Libya. Libya now is under control, and we must absolutely create the conditions to give an hope for the Libyan people and also for the European people. So, for me, yes, this is the first priority.
But does a larger community have to come together to make sure that happens, or can the Libyans do it on their own?
I think Libya, after the decision to stop the dictator of Gaddafi with intervention of NATO, few people believe, okay, mission established, mission accomplished. No. Because when you use a very important intervention in an area as Libya, you must think also about the future,
right?
Not only about the present. This now, it's difficult but possible. We are the only one country with our embassy open in Tripoli in this moment. We work for create the respect of last elections in June 2014, and we reduce the battle and fights on the streets. I think Libya must be absolutely about Libya, we must have more attention by international community. I spoke about it yesterday with Ban Ki-moon, and I'm confident Italy is ready to make the role, to play a very important role.
In Libya?
We are absolutely at this position of international community. But international community must think Libya is not the last problem.
Many people look at Europe and they say they've got two great men over there. One is Pope Francis, which I'm sure you agree with.
Pope Francis is a great man. And this is my personal point of view. It's very simply, I met him with my family. And I think he was a man very important for the Catholic Church, obviously, for the relation with Italy and Vatican. But also to give a message of hope, because in this moment the words of Pope Francis are words of hope. And if you think, if you read a newspaper, if you verify a media message, a few times the message is not a message of hope. While Francis Pope gives this opportunity, these words of kindness in the direction of men and women, this is absolutely new in the international discussion in this moment. And for me, it's absolutely important that I value the human value of this man.
His pastoral role as well. The other man that many people say has the thing of greatness is Mario Draghi. And when they look at the Eurozone, they think he really saved it.
Yes, I think Mario Draghi is absolutely a good man, very able to lead the European Central Bank. Unfortunately, the European Central Bank is not as a Federal Reserve. The power
is not the Federal Reserve.
It's not Federal Reserve for the power, for the role, for the legislation. So it's different. It's the modality of procedure. But Draghi obtained a few important results. I think the role of Draghi for Euro is absolutely a good role. And I think really it's a great man in for this job.
How will we measure whether Matteo Renzi succeeds?
If Italy in the next 3 years will be more open, smarter, and simpler, this is the message we win our battle. Because this happening, we must absolutely don't waste nothing a day. Nothing a day, because we must absolutely work step by step every day to reduce the power of bureaucracy and to give this message of efficiency in our country. I'm confident this could be possible. But we must absolutely don't waste nothing. Don't waste day. Don't waste absolutely a possibility. We can lose the next election, but we cannot lose now this opportunity.
And what do you say, finally, to the Italian people they must do in order to restore Italy's greatness?
Come back to be dreamers. Because in the last period, we lost a dream and we make nightmares. We lost the possibility and ability to show ourselves as a real man and woman able to have a big project. In the last period, Italy is was sad, was lack of a future. And my first message is exactly that. Dear my fellow citizens, we are able to come back to be dreamers, to come back to give the message of quality and the quality of life and lifestyle and ideals and the culture and the beauty around the world. But for this, we must change. Change is not a bad word. Change is the only way to come back to be dreamers.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so
Pleasure
much.
Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi. From New York City, you're watching Bloomberg Television.
You are watching
Bloomberg Television.
Bloomberg Television.
Did you get that?
Opportunities aren't always obvious. Sometimes they just drop in. CME Group can help you navigate risks and capture opportunities. We enable you to reach global markets and drive forward with broader possibilities. CME Group, how the world advances.
Traveling.
But when you've got an entire company who knows that the fewest cancellations and the most on-time flights are nothing if we can't get your things there, too. It's no wonder more people choose Delta than any other airline.
Laurent Fabius is here. He is the French foreign minister. He also served as prime minister of France from 1984 to 1986. He is in New York for the United Nations General Assembly. On Wednesday, an Algerian-based jihadist group released a video showing the execution of a French tourist. The group claimed solidarity with the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, also called Daesh, by people, including the foreign minister. France joined the United States airstrikes against ISIS in Iraq last Friday. It has not yet participated in strikes on the group in Syria. I'm pleased to have Laurent Fabius back at this table. Welcome.
Thank you.
As so many people around the world and certainly the United Nations extend our own sympathy for the loss of this
Thank you.
French
well,
citizen.
It's a terrible day because, he has been not only, if I may say so, assassinated, but beheaded. It was a terrible cruelty, and these people, affiliates of what we call Daesh, are people...
Daesh is the term for the Islamic State, because you object to using Islamic State.
Yes, because they want to be a state, but they're not. And they say that they represent Islam, but it's not true.
And no Islamic leader I know says that they represent Islam.
But, they want to have a sort of bloody blackmail on us, but it will not work. We shall not surrender because we are defending freedom and... these people, we cannot accept the way they behave. It's a fight not only for France, but for all of us. And we have to stand very firm on that, very firm.
So what does France do with respect to the United States and the other countries who are participating in this?
We have decided, as you said, we have decided in Iraq to bring our air support. And the Iraqi have asked us for doing that, and we are doing that. We have given weapons. We are giving humanitarian aid as well. And
In Iraq.
In Syria, we are directly helping the moderate opposition in terms of humanitarian aid, in terms of weapons as well, and training. But the two things are interrelated because this Daesh group is transnational. And the American has decided with some Arab countries to be present in Syria is good. But we cannot do anything. And for the time being, we are concentrating on Iraq.
I don't understand why you can't order airstrikes into Syria.
You don't understand?
Yes.
Why? No,
well,
we
can't.
Could. We could. Obviously, we could.
But why do you refuse to?
No, we didn't refuse. We don't want to do everything. And our view is that, we are supporting what the Americans are doing, But we have to pay attention because Daesh has to be fought, But the problem in Syria is that it must not be used by Bashar al-Assad in order to gain ground. And therefore, and right now, unfortunately, the moderate opposition is strong in some parts, but weak in other parts. Therefore, it will take time. But we are, sharing the same goals, but the Americans are doing some job, an excellent job. We are doing some job. Maybe in the future we shall evolve, but for the time being, we are concentrating on Iraq.
I still don't understand why there's a difference, because
It's a different story. Why? Because, in Iraq, we have been asked by the Iraqi government to support them. In Syria, it's not the same story.
Because you do not want to be engaged in something that supports the Syrian government? Is that the reason?
It's obvious. Yeah. In Syria, we have not only one adversary, Daesh. The other one Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah.
You know that we don't want to support them, by no means. Because, in fact, if you remember, Bashar is at the origin of Daesh. You know that Bashar has liberated prisoners from prison, and they are the leaders of Daesh. Maybe you know that during years, Bashar has not fought Daesh. And today, I mean today, Daesh is having a lot of oil, and a part of this oil is sold to Bashar. Therefore, we have not only
by Daesh?
Yes, by Daesh. And it has been decided, and it's excellent, by UN recently, to cut the financing. Because there are people, there are maybe states who finance Daesh, and through oil and through different means. And we have to cut that. But to come back to your main question, we have not only one adversary in Syria, two. And we have to organize ourselves, I mean, U.S., France, Arab countries, and the coalition, in order to fight against the two.
Are you pleased that the Americans are using their air power in Syria to attack
yes, okay.
ISIS?
It's quite okay. And it's quite okay. And we have said, and I say today, that we are supporting them. Yes.
What's it going to take in terms of, quote, boots on the ground to dismantle and destroy ISIS? Well, and is the Syrian, are the moderate forces from the Free Syrian Army sufficient? And can they be made sufficient?
There is a lesson to draw from the recent past conflicts. You cannot win a victory without the people themselves. In Iraq, the Iraqis. In Syria, the Syrian. Okay. In Iraq, we think that thanks to our support, the Iraqi step by step will be stronger, and they can beat Daesh. And we are bringing our air support. In Syria, it's a bit different because, as you pointed out, the moderate position, which has been fought both by Bashar right. and by the terrorists, right. is sometimes in a strong position, sometimes in a difficult position. And it will take time in order to get it stronger.
But can they do it in the end, over the long run?
Yes,
do they have sufficient...
Yes, yes. We shall help them.
Ground forces to do
it. Yes, we shall help them. Not only us, but Americans. You know that it has been decided by the Americans to give training, to give $500 million. Saudi Arabia as well. Jordan as well. Different countries as well. We had a meeting today, this afternoon, with what we call core group. All the people who are supporting the Syrian army, the moderate opposition, and we have decided to support them, but I agree that it will take time. And in between, we have to strike Daesh, but to avoid that Bashar would take advantage of this. Therefore, it's a bit difficult, you know. And we have to be very well coordinated.
Under no circumstances should there be any kind of relationship with Bashar al-Assad to defeat Daesh.
No. Bashar is wanting to take advantage. Maybe you have seen that he has made proposals saying, well, I am part and parcel of the coalition. But Bashar is at the origin of Daesh and terrorists. Mm. Because, you know, things are going so quickly that we have forgotten the origin of that. You remember, John, that when was it? 3 years ago,
yeah.
with the so-called Arab Spring.
Right.
At the beginning, it was maybe 10 youngsters who were wanting in a countryside in Syria to be freer, to be more free. And Bashar has reacted in such a way, it's unbelievable, that today you have 200,000 people who have been killed.
And refugees
by millions. And he is a dictator. He's a dictator. You remember the chemical weapon. And some people say that today is still using chemical weapons.
Of a different kind.
Yes, different kind. But the chemical is chemical. And therefore, by no means we shall support him. By no means.
Do you believe... Did ISIS get money from Arab countries?
Today, I hope not.
But before. I mean, are the same countries that are now, this is the charge that President Rouhani said to me yesterday. He found it interesting that the countries who had helped build up ISIS because they were opposed to Bashar al-Assad are now fighting ISIS. Is that true?
Well, I think that, well, there has been a financing.
Right.
It can be states, it can be persons, private
foundation,
individuals. Yeah. What I think is that some people or some states have thought during a while that it was possible, you know, to have a sort of agreement which will protect them if they were giving money. But it was completely foolish. Because these guys, I mean, Daesh, their idea, and it's new if you compare them with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, you know, they were not wanting